Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What the hell is up, Pelicans fans? My name is Elliot Clough, and this is Believe in the New Orleans Pelicans. And today we are once again joined by a guest. Her name is Jasmine Brown, formerly of ESPN, formerly a beat writer for the Washington Mystics as well. She also covered women's basketball at the University of Maryland while in college. But today we talked a lot about what the industry is going through, sports media, what they're dealing with. Having worked in Bristol, Connecticut at ESPN, we got a very in-depth look from Jasmine today about what's happening at the ESPN headquarters. And of course, we got to talk a little bit about the Pelicans as well. Talk about Zion being in studio at ESPN while Jasmine was there, how she got to share the building with guys like Scott Van Pelt and John Anderson, two of the big names on SportsCenter. So it was a really fun podcast today. So stick around, hear from my conversation with Jasmine Brown, formerly of ESPN. So here we are on Believe in the New Orleans Pelicans, and we are joined by Jasmine Brown today. How are you doing today, Jasmine?
I am good and surviving. How are you?
Same. And we're very excited that you decided to stop by today. Always excited to have some more guests on the podcast. So you mentioned you're surviving. What has this break looked like for you, this break in normality? How are you staying busy?
Well, I mean, like everybody else, it was unexpected. So immediately I just started to kind of sit down and relax and think of things to keep myself busy, which one of them was making a crazy video with the basketball. Started thinking about the idea in my head, went outside, started rolling the ball around and recording it and put a track over it. And I mean, I never would have done this if I wasn't inside. So the premise behind it was basically I didn't really watch the NBA like I was supposed to. You know, I'm more of an NFL person in college basketball, but the NBA is definitely something that I've taken a step back from for a couple of years. You know, the people that I've watched, you know, like Kobe and Tim Duncan, all of them, they were gone. So, you know, I didn't really watch it, but I took it for granted once everything happened. So, you know, I just thought, you know what, I missed the NBA, and started making a video about basketball.
Sure. All right. I think I saw that on your Twitter. If you want to check it out, and we'll have you give them your at the end, or your handle at the end of the show. But if you want to check it out, it's on Twitter, and we'll let you know how you can find Jasmine on Twitter at the end. It's kind of a cool video. I thought it was interesting.
Thank you.
So you saw the industry up close right around the time all of this started. What is the industry? What is sports media looking like right now? Especially, you were in Bristol, Connecticut. So you're really in the thick of it all during the beginning of the crisis. What's this looking like?
Yeah. when everything broke, I was there when Rudy Gobert touched the mic, and, you know, we didn't think anything of it. And then the next day, I mean, chaos. Everything was canceled left and right. And then, you know, I think that Wednesday when they announced that the NBA season would be suspended, everybody there was like, oh, my goodness. Everybody was talking about it. You know, it ended up being talked. And then the next day was the start of the tournaments, you know, all the college tournaments, and then we just literally saw left and right all the conferences canceling the tournaments. The last thing that I did was a 20-second video of Florida State getting their ACC tournament trophy for the 6 o'clock Sports Center. That was it. That's all I did for one day.
Wow.
That's all I did. And I was there for 8 hours, and that's all I did for one day. So just being there and just seeing, you know, producers changing their rundown and changing their whole scheme for the show. I mean, it was definitely something that I've never really noticed on the other side of television. So just kind of looking at that made me appreciate what producers do behind the scenes, because I don't think people realize what's going on behind the scenes. People weren't really running around with their heads cut off. People are a little bit frantic when everything started happening.
Sure. And, you know, looking forward, I mean, obviously it's difficult to not be with a job entering this situation that we're in. But do you feel like being in the arena, I guess, in a situation like this has prepared you going forward for a career in sports media? Because, I mean, we're not going to have the coronavirus hitting every year or anything like that.
Right.
But the field is hectic at times. Do you think it prepared you for going forward?
Yes, definitely. Just kind of knowing what to do in a crisis definitely prepared me. I know just kind of looking around, not particularly for myself, but just looking around, looking at what people were doing in the thick of it, definitely prepared me. You know, just looking at producers and mainly them, because they were pretty much, everything was on their shoulders. And just looking at everything that they did, they didn't panic. They just kind of reworked the rundown and put everything in there for people to go along with what they wanted. But, I mean, I don't think that – I don't know. Hopefully not. Nothing will be of this magnitude. So I think this, since this is so high, I think everything else would be very minuscule, and it'll be like cake next time.
Right. So in your role at ESPN, just purely out of curiosity, did you get to interact with, like, the John Andersons and Scott Van Pelt and guys like that at all?
Yes, I did. I pretty much saw Scott every day. I think one of my first highlights that I did was with John Anderson. I had to give him my shot sheet. Yeah, I did interact with them quite a bit, and pretty much everyone, Sage Still, Michael Lees, pretty much all of them, all the anchors, because we have to interact with them throughout the process of our highlights and stuff. So, yeah, I talked to them a lot.
How cool was that?
It was cool. I mean, you know, it was different, you know, kind of seeing them on television and getting there. But, you know, most of our mindsets were they're our colleagues. You know, yeah, of course, they're higher up colleagues, but they're our colleagues. So, you know, you just kind of treated it as act like you've been there before kind of thing.
Sure. Personally, I would be fangirling at least the first day.
The first day.
100%.
Yeah, I think the first week we were kind of in a corner, kind of like, oh, my God, it's them. But then, you know, after a while, it's kind of like, oh, hey, what's up, Piper?
Right. Sure. So we got to talk a little Pelicans, of course. In Bristol, what is the hype on Zion like at ESPN? Is it constant? Are they always trying to get highlights? Are they always trying to make reference to Zion?
Constantly. It's funny. I think maybe late August or September, it was the 40th anniversary of ESPN, and we had a special guest, and nobody knew who it was. And then they just said, Zion Williamson, and we all looked like Zion. Zion? That's a special guest? I mean, I couldn't believe it until he walked on the stage, and I was like, whoa, like, this, wow, okay, and it set the precedent of what was going to happen with the season. And I mean, I couldn't believe it when I saw him in person. I never thought I would ever, but yeah, I know when he was out, there was, you know, a lot of content kind of speculating when he'll come back. how he'll influence the Pelicans and possibly getting a playoff spot and, you know, things like that. I don't know if you saw, but, you know, it says Zion's back when it was announced he's coming back. He had a bar at the bottom of the television. And, you know, a lot of people were like, wow, this is actually really big, you know, that you have your own bar with your own, you know, lower bar with your, you know, you in a Pelicans uniform saying Zion's back tonight at 8, 9, whatever. I mean, that's big. You have your own thing. So, yeah, it was definitely a lot of hype with Zion, especially when he came back.
Did you get to meet him when he was in studio?
I didn't get to meet him, but I was close to I was close to when he was talking.
Okay, I'm sure there was just buzz everywhere.
It was, but nobody knew until nobody. They kept it tight until he got there. So, yeah, nobody knew anything, no tips or anything.
Right. So, ever since Zion has returned, it's really been crazy for the Pelicans, for New Orleans, and the team was playing well prior to his return, but they did start 6-22, and it was kind of looking bleak for a little while before things got figured out. But now that he's back and the Pelicans are playing well, how bad does the big time media, how bad does ESPN want the Pelicans in the playoffs?
I mean, I think they want them, you know, in the playoffs. I mean, Zion, you know, because of his status at Duke, you know, they wanted a part two of that in the pros. You know, everybody knew that he was leaving, you know, after his first year. Everybody knew that. So everybody wanted to prepare for him in the pros. And, you know, if you see him go to the Pelicans, an organization that has, you know, struggled, even though at one point they did have, you know, Anthony Davis and they had Boogie, you know, everybody thought that that was going to be the core for a little while. It wasn't. So now that Zion is there, you know, you see him with, you know, Ingram and Josh Hart and them there. So everybody wanted to see that core kind of move on into the playoffs. And they're close. They're definitely close. I think, were they 8 seed, 9 seed, I think?
They're 10 seed right now.
They're 10 right now. Okay, so they were inching closer to a playoff spot, and I think people were having like a little track meter of when what they had to do to get at least an A seed.
I've heard rumors of the league just doing all 30 teams in a playoff coming up here. I don't know how legit that is. I'm sure the NBA is really trying to figure out something because without the remainder of the regular season, you just don't know. And you got to have the best teams in the playoffs, really. At least that's the goal, obviously. So I'm sure the people at ESPN are very excited, hopefully, probably hoping that happens. And if that does happen, obviously they'll still be playing a higher seed, but it increases the likelihood of them moving forward for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Jasmine, you are a Maryland graduate and a Wizards fan. So, looking at this coming season, John Wall returning, is that something that you as a Wizards fan want? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a interesting journey with John Wall. I think he's gotten hurt twice. He got hurt looking out of a bathtub, and I was like, I don't even know what to say about this. I'm like, why are you, whatever. But I think the lasting memory that Wizards have of him is that game 6. And I think because of that, people want that John Wall to come back. So off of that, I would want him to come back, but based off his history of injuries, I don't know what John Wall is going to get. And based on this season, you know, I think it'll be, what, maybe a year, 2 years, you know, that he hasn't been playing actively. So it'll be interesting to see which Wall we get back. I mean, the Bill is there, so, you know, he'll have his partner, but yeah, I don't know. I definitely don't know what we'll get when we see him.
It's been a tough few years for the Wizards. It really has. After playing some really good ball with Marcin Gortat and Beal and John Wall when they were younger, Wall has just looked real rough in the last few years, and they're paying him a lot of money to sit on the bench right now.
Yes, he has a very very hefty contract, him along with Ian Mahimi. But I don't know. I think when the Heat reached out, you know, they were willing to take his contract, and I was kind of like on the fence. Like, I don't want to lose both or Beal, but if that opens up, you know, cap space and contract money and all that stuff, go for it. Shred it, start over, build it back up. Even if that takes a few years, I think Wizards fans would have been a little more understanding if they did that to rebuild. Because if you have all those pieces and you're losing, it's kind of like, why is this happening? But if you scrap it, rebuild, I think they'll understand, like, okay, we're rebuilding a culture and players to ultimately be on the level of kind of like the Golden State Warriors, how they build themselves up.
Right.
Their championships.
And right now, what they're doing is losing with one of those guys, and Beal's going out there scoring 50 points, and they're still losing. So it's just a tough situation to be a Wizards fan right now. And now we've been talking a lot about the NBA draft on Believe in the New Orleans Pelicans, at least for the Pelicans' vantage point, obviously. But the Wizards are sitting at number 9 right now. If that is where they fall come draft lottery time, is there anybody that you would really like to see on the Wizards in 2020?
On the Wizards, let me see. I know they projected to have Okoro. I think it's Isaac Okoro. I think that's what they've had. That's what they have projected. But I wouldn't have mind to see. Trying to figure out the person that I was looking at. Personally, for me, I'm a Maryland fan. Jalen Smith. I would like to see him there. I think you need more front court. They need more front court depth, and they're very thin, and I think he would be a good option for that. I think in terms of point guards, I mean, we have Shabazz, but I would like to see how, you know, Cole Anthony is very, very close right there, so I would like to see him. Long shot, Obi Toppin. I think that's a long shot to get him. He's probably going to go off the board earlier than 9. But those are probably my top 3.
You know, the Pelicans are at 13, and I talked about Obi Toppin too, so you're fine. he's a talented guy. Talented scorer. He's definitely a hot commodity. So looking forward for you, Jasmine. What are your plans next? I mean, the future's so up in the air, but what are your plans next, and how are you staying sharp career-wise?
Yeah, I do have some, job opportunities in the works, in the eyes. I don't know what's going to happen, but if that opportunity comes about, then I will announce that. But in the meantime, just still staying abreast of every sport that's going on, the possibility of things coming back. And, just writing stuff down. If I have any ideas of when the sports, world resumes, I do that. And then, of course, you know, the video that I made last week, that's also, you know, something, stuff like that. So if anything comes to mind, I just go ahead and jot it down. But, yeah, I mean, I know I also – follow the WNBA. They just announced that they're going to postpone. So everything is just up in the air. I covered the Mystics for 3 years. So that is definitely something that I will also keep an eye out on, because that's probably the only sport, along with the NFL, that still could possibly resume.
Very cool. So, Jasmine, how do we follow you on social media? How can we see some of your previous work, some of your previous writing, production, all that good stuff?
Sure, yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter at Jasmine B, as in dog, _ Brown. On Instagram, J Danielle Brown. And then it's kind of hard to see my work. I mean, if you want to look at some of my videos, I did post some on my Twitter. in my media. But there are kind of weird, kind of hard to pinpoint some of the work that I did with ESPN because it did air on television. But most of the stuff that I have is on my Instagram and on my Twitter media.
Very cool. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jasmine.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So there you have it, Pels fans. My conversation with Jasmine Brown, formerly of ESPN Today. Hey, don't forget, before the end of this track, go follow me on Twitter. You're going to be getting a ton of Pelicans content there. It is just at Elliot Clough on Twitter. And again, you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to DM me. Feel free to respond to any of my tweets, and feel free to just hashtag what the Pel is up, or just hit that handle and give me your message, what you're trying to say. And while you're here, again, couple more things before the end of this track. Subscribe, leave a rate and review. The more you do that, the better guests we're going to get, the better quality we're going to be getting you, the listener. Follow Believe on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and you can check out a plethora of their other podcasts on Believe.com, or just head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you are listening to this podcast right now. And you can check out my Pelicans coverage for FanSided's Hoops Habits website. Just go to Hoops Habit, click West, scroll down, hit New Orleans Pelicans. You're going to find my coverage as well as other writers for Hoops Habit. How we talk about the Pelicans there. My most recent article talking about if Zion really has a chance of winning Rookie of the Year honors. And then this coming week, or maybe even this weekend, I'll be getting you an article on who I think the Pelicans should go after in this year's NBA draft. Hey, also, I told you I was going to be getting you polls on my Twitter account right now. You can head over and vote. What position do you think the Pelicans should go for in the first round? A backup guard for Zoe, a center of the future to pair with Jackson Hayes and Zion in the front court, or a 3-and-D guy at the wing position? What do you think, Pels fans? You've heard what I've said, but I want to hear what you have to say. Don't forget, go follow me on Twitter, subscribe, rate, review, and if you have any questions, anything you want to say about the pod, just hashtag what the Pel is up. I am Elliot Clough, and this was Believe in the New Orleans Pelicans.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.